Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and guest host, Candace Myers. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Happy 250th birthday, America. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Russ Weaver.
I'm Candace Myers.
And we're glad to have you here today on Cowboy Church. Candace is you did such a good job of filling in for Susie. We're just so glad to have you here. And Candace is the real deal. She's not fake anything. So what you see is what you get, and there's a lot there. And we're glad to have you with us.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
So the next today we get to do the second half of the message of the 250th birthday. It's a big enough birthday. We had to do 2 weeks. You know,
but that's a big birthday.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think we're gonna make it.
Well, probably not. You know. Yeah, I had a doctor tell me, he says, you should be good for the 10, 20 years.
So oh, shoot.
Is that supposed to be good news or
I
not?
I don't know.
Yeah, so, but anyway, we're here for the second half, and we have a guy named Steve Desmond. Have you heard of Steve Desmond?
I'm not
Desmond?
Familiar, but I'm excited about this.
This guy sings really good, and he's going to be doing the songs for each military.
Right.
They're theme songs. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to remember those. We used to live in Utah at near Hill Air Force Base. And we'd always kid those Air Force guys that their theme song was Up in the Air Junior Birdman song.
But I don't think that's it.
No, it's not it. But right now I can't think of their real song because all I can think of is that one. I'm not being critical, guys, but we're gonna have the theme song from every branch
that's
of this
terrific.
Service, part of our service today, and so we'll be recognizing them. Sit back and relax. Grab yourself something to drink, so maybe something a little cooler. It's 4th of July, it's hot, and we're here for the second half. Stay tuned.
I have a feeling we got some folks here who served in the military in the past or who perhaps are currently serving in the military. This next song, I give a shout out to every one of you. And if you would do this favor for me, when I shout out your branch of the service, if you would stand right where you're at, do jumping jacks. No, I'm just kidding. Just stand where you're at, and we want to give you a big hand of applause and cheer for you, all right? Here we go with some military anthems. I want to start with the United States Army. If you were in the Army, would you stand up? There they are, all over the place. Over hill, over dale, we will hit the dusty trail, and those caissons go rolling along. In and out, hear them shout, countermarching all about, and those caissons go rolling along. And it's high, high, he in the field artillery. Count out your numbers loud and strong. 2, 3, 4, hut, 2, 3. And where'er you go, you will always know that those caissons go rolling along. The United States Navy, let's give him a hand. Anchors away, my boys, anchors away. Farewell to college joys, we sail at break of day, 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 to our last night on shore. Hail to the foam, until we meet once more. Here's wishing you a happy voyage home. Let's give the United States Coast Guard a big hand. We're always ready for the call. We place our trust in thee. Through howling gale and shot and shell to win a victory. Semper Paratus is our guide, our pledge, our motto too. We're always ready to or die. Aye, Coast Guard, we fight for you. the United States Air Force. Up we go into the wild blue yonder, flying high into the sun. Here they come, zooming to meet our thunder. Atom boys, give her the gun. Down we dive, spouting our flame from under. Off with one terrible roar. We live in fame or go down in flame, for nothing can stop the U.S. Air Force. The United States Marine Corps. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we will fight our country's battles in the air, on land and sea. First we fight for right and freedom, then to keep our honor clean. We will always claim the title of United States Marines. Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Air Force, the United States Marines.
Thomas Jefferson, he went back and read the Quran and began to understand how the culture thinks and how they believe. And he went back and he attacked them according to how the best way to attack a religious organization. But he said this, he said his greatest fear is that someday this brand of Islam would return and pose an even greater threat to the United States. I just want to say this, that I thank God that God has given us leadership who understands what the battle is. And I'm grateful that we have a president that won't put up with that stuff. I'm grateful that we live in a nation that we had our national fathers who put the nation together so that we could experience Christian and religious freedom. Understand that you can't circumvent that way of doing things and allow religious organizations to cause strongholds. Well, I want to talk to you just a little bit. That's a forerunner to everything I'm going to say this today. So the first item I want to bring up in order for us to begin to understand what goes on, there is a battle. There will always be a battle. There's always a battle between good and evil. And it started in the heavenlies with God and with the rebel Satan himself when he rebelled against God, and a third of the angelic army joined the devil in spiritual warfare. They tried to assume that they could take over who God was and what God was doing. And God, of course, wouldn't let them do that. But The battle is against good and it's against evil. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this present age." We need to understand that the battle isn't against Muslims. It isn't against people, but it's against the powers of the enemy of God himself. And here's how you know. This is the crux of how you can understand who's on God's side and who isn't. The Bible is very, very clear about a principle, and it's a principle that America was founded on, and this principle is called freedom. You see, God so loved the world that when he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is a choice. It's not a mandate. And therein is the difference between Christianity and every other false religion in the world, is because we now have a choice. And the Bible says there's no other name given in heaven whereby man must be saved except through Jesus Christ. Yet it gives us absolute ability to choose. You know why God did that? Is because he's God. Now, here's the thing about being God. When you're God, everything says yes. And when you're God, nothing would have a choice. And God wanted somebody who would choose him. For any of you who have ever fallen in love, for any of you who have ever loved somebody, and that person turns to you and say, I love you and I submit to you, you understand what God was wanting in mankind. The whole reason mankind was created is so that God could have somebody who loved him because they chose it. And if God mandated that we loved him, we'd be like all the other creatures. See, we're the apex of God's creation. And the reason we're the apex of God's creation is we're the entity that gets to choose whether or not we love God and whether or not we're going to serve God. And any entity who takes away that privilege, who takes away that freedom and requires mandates that you live certain ways, is establishing falseness and false religion. Let's go through it just a little bit further. So the battle is the difference between freedom and bondage. That's why the Republic is such a wonderful thing, because it's completely about choices. It's about freedoms. Joshua 24:15, when Joshua is about to become the great leader of Israel, taking over from Moses, he stood before the people and he said this, and there's a couple of things that go with this. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Here's your choices, but you get to choose today. Man, that's the beauty of Christianity. You get to choose. Choose you this day who you will serve. And he says, as for me and my house. You see, what we have as parents and leaders, we have the ability to choose for our kids up until the age of accountability, which is 12 years old. We have the ability to choose to bring our kids under the shelter of the Almighty and train those kids so that they understand that they have freedom and they have choices. My mom used to give me choices all the time. And the reason she did, she said, I want you to be able to make up your own mind. Now, there are times you don't get to make a choice, because that's life. But freedom is about choices. Eternal choices is the greatest choices you get to make. So when you begin to understand Christianity compared to every other entity, you begin to realize that choices are choices. They are not forced. If you look at Adam and Eve, the very first two people of the earth, God gave them a choice. He says, you can have all of this, or here's these two trees. And Adam and Eve chose wrong. And because of it, sin reigns in the world today. I want with all of my heart for every person listening to this broadcast today, I want for you to examine your heart for just a moment. And I want you to ask yourself, am I doing this because I'm afraid of hell? Am I doing this because I feel like I've been forced into it? Am I doing this because I've been bullied into it? Or am I doing this for the right reason? The right reason is God is giving you a choice. And you get to do as Joshua asked, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. The next factor about this freedom is this. It's about grace. And I loved what our president said to the nation of Iran. He said, if you'll do the right thing, if you'll eliminate all the enriched uranium, and he had a set of mandates, if you'll do all of those, we would be glad to assist and be a part of the rebuild program. That's grace. And I just want to say I'm proud to live in a place where we don't just want to bomb people completely out of life. We want to establish good order so that they can have good choices. And we want to distribute grace to freedom. Now, freedom doesn't mean it won't cost. Freedom costs something. Freedom cost us, folks, in Christianity, freedom cost us something that's beloved to the Father and beloved to us. It costs the life of His Son and the blood of Jesus Christ so that we could have eternity with the Father and fellowship with Him. Grace always has a sacrifice. A person giving grace is operating in a sacrificial mode. Do you know that? People that are selfish don't give grace. Grace is given because of people who have a heart of sacrifice. And they sacrifice, parents sacrifice so that their kids can eat. They sacrifice so that their kids can have clothes. They sacrifice their own desire, their own things that they like to participate in. Guys, you don't get to play an extra game of golf this week because your kids need to have shoes for school, or you know, sacrifice is an important part of grace. Paul said it like this. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he says, I die daily. What do you mean by that? He said, I sacrifice. I die daily. In myself, in my heart, I have three parts of me that have influence into my decision-making process. I have a connection with God. I've accepted Him as my personal Savior, and I've asked Him to come live in my life. And because of that, God speaks to me. He speaks to me through His Word. He speaks to me through messages like this. He speaks to me through that still small voice that uses reminders, that works as a conscience, that gives ideas that seem like they're thoughts. But then when you recognize them, you begin to recognize those thoughts are God's thoughts. And the second entity is the enemy. The enemy has influence into your thinking. And if you let him in there, you can be bad as any counterfeit jailbird that there is. But if you begin to erase those thoughts or begin to control those thoughts or cage those thoughts or paint those thoughts out, because in my life, it's pretty easy because I don't have a lot of room for a lot of thoughts. And so if I fill all that room with God's word and with God's thoughts and with those kinds of things, I don't have much room to think about the enemy's thoughts. I need to know what's going on with it. I need to know which ones are the enemies, because I need to know which ones to kick out. And then the last one is me. I have the ability to think. God has given us the ability to think. So there's three entities that are always wrestling in my mind. And those entities are God and me and the devil himself. And I want to be the kind of person who understands which one of those voices is God's voice and make sure that that has priority in my decision-making process. So when Paul says, I die daily, what he's saying is, Russ, that secondary voice of you, me, that other voice of the devil, that there's so much stuff he wants you to participate in, and there's enjoyments in some of the stuff he gives. There's short pleasures in what he tries to tempt us with by allowing God to live in our lives. God's grace will help us to live for eternity the right way, the right place, and for all of eternity. So Paul puts it like this. It's personal. Paul said, I have to die to myself daily. I cannot be my own God. That doesn't work. I get to choose. And when I choose God, I'm choosing not to listen to this. When I choose God, I'm choosing not to listen to the devil. And it works not only on a personal level, it works on a national level. So is our 250th birthday, our nation has the ability to make choices. It's the same as mankind. Our nation gets to choose whether or not we get to serve God. And leadership in order to be great leaders, need to sacrifice. And what do they sacrifice? They sacrifice their time and their energy to make sure that our nation is safe, to make sure that our nation has the opportunities to be reliant, self-reliant or God-reliant, that our nation is free from leadership that seeks to destroy it, that seeks to have their own way. And we need a leadership that must sacrifice for us to recognize God's guidance and so that we may follow God's principles. And so that we can make difficult decisions for our nation. And so that we can stand for freedom by not allowing corruption. So the sacrifices have to be made in order for us to distribute and establish grace. See, the grace that we have, the grace that was given to us from our Father, is a son. He gave his son Jesus as the greatest act of grace, the greatest sacrifice, and that grace and that sacrifice is the atonement for our sins so that we can live with the Father. Here's the beauty of getting to live with the Father. It's freedom. It's freedom to choose. And if you choose the right thing, if you choose the Father, he's got all kinds of blessings sitting there for you. He's got all kinds of enrichment programs. But God needs for us to be the people of God, and he needs for us to be the people of God at the right time. And when we have a counterfeit heart, by whatever means, at the time that God needs us the most, we fail. At the time when we need God the most, our failures interfere with it. And the last thing about this, as I told you, remember when you're trained, when a horse is trained to be counterfeit because he's working out of fear all the time. And he's always afraid of being overcorrected. He's trained to be counterfeit. Sometimes horses don't have a choice to choose their way out of that. But God so loved the world that we have the choice to live our way out of that. It's through Christ. It's through the decision-making that we can have inside of our lives, inside our heart, inside of our thinking. If we can look to the Father and ask for his grace and ask that his son's blood that was shed for our sins would be applied to our life and our situation, God can begin to rethink our thinking or retrain our thinking. And our thinking can begin to line up with what God wants us to line up with, and we become the people that God wants us to be. See, when God allowed us or created us, what he did, we came with a plan. God has a will for our lives. He has a reason for our existence, a reason for our being. And when we came with this plan, the great joy of life is the discovery of that plan. And we get to choose to live with that plan or reject that plan. The whole birthday plan has this. It's a choice. Freedom's a choice. You get to choose. Choose Jesus, because he's the one that's in charge of freedom. And thank God we get to live in America where we can follow through on that and live it out. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.